Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Allie Mack here, and Dylan behind the glass. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. And you two know this. No other duo knows more about the Falcons in this city than you fellas. One sitting across from me, one to my left, Mike and Bo.
Yeah, yes, okay. I can ride that wave with you. Sure.
And we've been going over the top 20 most important Falcons. So your opinion on this truly carries some weight here. At this point, you guys have agreed on the top 20. We are at 25, got it down to 20. And now we got to rank them in order. But just so we catch everyone up to speed, can we kind of go through who the top 20 are in no particular order or however you want to take it, just so we know who we're pulling from to go to start listing them and ranking them?
Yeah, in no particular order. And, Bo, you'll have to help me and make sure that I'm on here. I got the offensive line. I've got Newsel, McGarry, Lindstrom. For the defensive line, I've got James Pierce, Ruka Roro, Arnold Ebikadie, Jalen Walker, Leonard Floyd, David Onyemata. For the linebacking core, I have Caden Ellis, Troy Anderson. For the corners, I have A.J. Terrell, Mike Hughes.
Yeah, that's right.
I have Charlie Warner for the tight ends, which was a pretty good debate yesterday, but we both kind of came to a consensus that he's probably more important this season than Kyle Pitts. And then you get to offense. You got Michael Penix, obviously, Bijan Robinson,
Drake London,
Darnell Mooney. Oh, and I forgot Jesse Bates back at the safety spot.
Yeah.
And then finish that up with one Younghoe Koo, because whoever wins that spot, and we're the best version of ourselves if he wins that spot against Lenny Craig, then I think, you know, Younghoe Koo's got to be included. So that's our 20. Just working from inside out there.
How difficult was it? Because I came in a little bit after you guys this morning. You were already kind of debating the battles that needed to happen.
Yeah.
With the extra, we had 25 players, need to get it down to 20. How difficult was it to go through those?
There was a lot of healthy dialogue, a lot of healthy discourse in those conversations.
Yeah, I think we both had, what would you say, two guys that we were like, we're not giving up.
Yes, that's a good point.
And so we started there. Like, I said, hey, I'm not giving up. I said, I'm not giving up Rook or Pierce. Mm-hmm. I will straight up give you Helms and Dorless, but we got to have a conversation about Troy Anderson, which we did. And then he came in and Mike said, I'm not giving up Hughes or Lindstrom.
Right. And the conversation around Chris Lindstrom, I think we both kind of felt the same way about Chris Lindstrom. He's just kind of there. It's almost like he's been so good and so consistent that he almost becomes like forgettable when you talk about importance.
Well,
but I kind of put Bo to task and I said, we can't include A.J. Terrell like in the, you know, top whatever of this conversation. And Chris Lindstrom, honestly, is probably the offensive version, if not better than that, when you look at him, because he's out there. They play at a very high level. You don't look at either one of them as like some kind of standout leader. None of them play the quarterback position of the defense, but they play at such a high level that they become of max importance to this team.
And the problem for me with this whole list is we've essentially just ignored the existence of one player who has been one of the most important players on this roster for the last 11 or 12 seasons, which is Jake Matthews.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And here's the problem for it. This is why I was okay with leaving Lindstrom off, because to me, Jake Matthews has been the most consistent player on this football team for the last 12 years. He has been your stalwart left tackle. He's played, I think, every game but like one.
Something insane.
He's the only player. The only player. He might be one of like 10 people that was in the building. I mean, I'm talking video people, PR people, all the way back. That was training, everything, anything, kitchen people, right? That was a grounds crew. that was here during the Super Bowl season in 16. That's how
that's a good point.
So that's, to me, that was part of my, I could leave Lindstrom off because do I think he's important? Yeah. But
well, yeah, and
the reality
to your point, you could have named all five of the offensive linemen.
Yeah, because Matthew Bergeron should have been on this list probably, because when Matthew Bergeron showed up, Drew Dahlman all of a sudden became a better center. Yeah. And all of a sudden now Drew Dahlman's making $20 million a year or something, and I know I'm exaggerating slightly, to be play for another team. And when did Drew Dahlman get recognized as that guy? When Matthew Bergeron came here. To me, it's why Ryan Neusel stepped in, or not why, but it was a part of Ryan Neusel stepping in, starting 8 games last year, and we were seemingly not missing a beat from that aspect. Some of your best offensive outputs with Ryan last year, because where Ryan Neusel was there at center.
And Allie, just to put a bow on kind of the creation of this list and the rankings, this is why 20 was such an interesting number.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, essentially you have 22 starters, but when you look at role players on the defensive front, in the back end, different packages offensively, like there's different names to be able to put in all these scenarios. That's why when you stop at 20 and then you also throw a Younghoe Koo in there, kicker, it becomes very, very difficult on the back end of that 20 to really select. Like I said, you could have picked all five offensive linemen as being guys that, hey, you want to step up. And then you could have easily cut out of Chris Lindstrom and said, well, you know what, he's just – we need Bergeron to be important this year. But you have to fall back to your beliefs in who is actually important and who you need to step up and who you need to play at the top of their ability. And that's why the most important, quote-unquote, became a better list than just best players.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad you guys were able to healthily come to the top 20 and agree upon them. Now we're going to start to rank them. Who would you put in 20th place?
I do want to go on this one, Bo.
Yeah, it's funny because we did put a tight end, and since not a tight end, people think maybe needs to be important this year. Charlie Warner is remember Patrick DeMarco from the Super Bowl season?
Remember him well.
DeMarco, yeah, and you were friends with him, you played with him. I got to know him briefly just, you know, during that time and some interactions. He was so big in this offense. Yeah, you know, and to me, that's what Charlie Warner is, because Charlie Warner can play that H-back kind of role. I think Charlie Warner, you could throw in there at fullback if you needed him for a play or two. He is a blocking tight end that is on the field quite a bit with the way they use him. He's going to catch a few passes. But the existence of that sixth offensive lineman on any given down,
yep,
set where that's what he fills, and I just think his importance is big. Now, is he the most important player on the field? No, not at all. But we both had him on our list. Therefore, he earned the 20 spot.
Well, and I think that he falls in line with a couple things with me. First of all, how is Zach Robinson going to use him? And I think that it's so unique the way that Zach Robinson and Dwayne Ledford have utilized him in this run game. And then you also fall back, and this was another point of contention, if he's not part of the lineup, if something were to happen to Charlie Warner, do you feel like whoever is being put in that place can play up to that standard? I don't believe so. I don't think we have anybody else on this roster that plays up to the ability of a Charlie Warner. I think that's the reason you brought him in. I think that's the reason you paid him what he did for a guy with 9 career catches, and I think he had, like, what, 1 or 2 last year? So I think that he is irreplaceable in terms of what he brings. To Bo's point, he's not, you know, he's not a top 3 player in terms of importance, but I think he'd be hard to replace, and he does a lot for this offense.
Okay, how about in the spot of number 19?
Number 19, I'll go here. This is the conversation we had around Divine Diablo, and number 19 for us was Troy Anderson. Now, Troy Anderson has a ton of upside. He has not had the ability to stay healthy over the course of his career, but we both talked about it this morning in deciding between he and Divine Diablo. I think they both play significant roles this year, but Troy Anderson, when he was at his best last year, NFC Defensive Player of the Week, did a number of things special teams-wise. If this team is going to get where they need to be, Troy Anderson's got to be at his best, and I think that's the reason that he becomes the 19th most important player for us.
Yeah, and look, I just go back to what he can be. But the good thing is you finally got a good athletic. I think one of the most athletic replacement you've had for Troy Anderson in a long time.
Okay, in the place of number 18,
that is Mike Hughes. Is what I've got. Look, AJ Terrell's your best cornerback, and Jesse Bates is your best player on defense. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah.
But the importance of Mike Hughes stepping up on the other side and locking that down is big, especially with we don't know who's going to be playing safety. And I think Billy Bowman is probably has a good shot inside track and winning that nickel position. He's going to compete with Clark Phillips and D. Alford.
Yeah.
But Mike Hughes is going to help and shut down. You're going to face teams like Tampa Bay where you got Evans, Godwin, Mbeka Ibuka, the rookie from Ohio State.
You're good, man.
No, go ahead. Come on, Mr.
No,
Nate.
I don't know. I just listened to you struggle through that. I was like, I can't wait to hear him say his name.
I was trying to remember his name first.
Mbeka Ibuka. I don't know. Neither one of us are right. But to your point about Mike Hughes, just to go back into that for one quick second.
If he can lock down the other side or just make it more difficult, try to put a stranglehold on that number, the number two, it's going to help this team tremendously, and he's going to be helped tremendously if a couple other guys that are actually on this list do step up.
And I think that his role building towards the season will be different than it was last year. Remember how much we talked in the first 10 weeks or so, whatever, about the corners playing off? And Mike Hughes, one of the surest tacklers as a member of a secondary of any player in the NFL at times. He was able to play off, and he was able to run up and tackle on the quick throws. And that's the reason that he became in that role. That's the reason he took it over to begin with. I think it'll be a little bit different through the preseason this year and what he's being asked to do. I think it'll be a little bit more press at times. So I'll be curious. But if he can play to that level, of the being the first-round draft pick that he was a number of years ago, then I think that that's what kind of vaults this defense in the next level.
Okay, so we've got Charlie Warner, Troy Anderson, Mike Hughes coming in 17th place of the top 20 most important Falcons is
Arnold Ebiketie. Arnold Ebiketie, and there is probably people listening right now that say, he's the kind of guy that probably needs to be higher. But I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he is definitely part of a contingent of pass rushers that you need to step up to the plate.
Like all I need Ebiketie and Floyd to do is kind of what they've done the last few years. If I get 8 or 9 from Floyd, if I get 6 or 7 from Ebiketie, with Walker and Braylon Trice and James Pierce, if I get 6 or 7 from that guy, like when you get through that at the end of the day, you get 5 or 6 guys. Now you've already reached what if everybody kind of gives what they've been doing, right? You're going to get 40, 50 sacks. That's the point for me. That's the beauty of it. So Ebiketie, I need him to continue to grow and do what he's done the last few years, honestly.
And we have time for one more in 16th place. Who do you guys have?
It's Ruka Ro-Ro-Ro.
Yep.
Look, you've lost Grady, and you need someone to step up. I think Root could be the guy that kind of steps in that role along with Morgan Fox.
Yeah.
And he popped last year at times. I don't care what he did in college. I don't care what he did last year. I need him to stay healthy. It's very important for him to stay healthy and be out there for the snap counts and when they need him, because he's going to play a big role, because quite honestly, there's one other guy on this list in that interior that's kind of playing there. But they need him. They need Zach Harrison. But to me, Rook is the guy they need the most.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I'll give Bo credit on this one. I did not have Rook on my list. And the more I looked at it, the more I'm really, really worried about interior defensive line. And Rook kind of fits into that. We've got to look. We can talk all we want to about the pass rush. We've got to be able to stop the run. And you were not good at that last year. He plays a massive part of what this team could be if he can step up to the plate. And be a good player for this defense. And I think that he obviously fits in as one of the most important players on the team.
Well, and we're going to continue to rank the top 20 most important Falcons this season, according to Mike and Bo. We'll get to 11 through 15. That'll be coming up at 8:20 today. And coming up next, Braves won in a big way. We'll break down how they got it done next on Sports Radio, the game, Sports Radio 99, the game, and
the Odyssey.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
First pitch to right field and deep. Acuna at the wall. He reaches up to grab it. A throw to first, and they're going to get the double play. Soto didn't know where the ball was.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift at 7:24 with Mike, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan. You just heard Ronald's catch. Phenomenal catch. And that was from Brandon Godden, but the call from my house, y'all. Graham McCauley jumped off the couch, goes, he got it! As everyone else in Atlanta did last night, right? That was a heart-stopping moment.
Other than, what's his name that was on, that was in between first and second base, looking at the umpire waiting for a call to see if he actually caught the ball or if it ricocheted off the wall. And then he gets doubled off first, which I just thought was just poetic because, like I said to begin the show, some of the things that happened to the Mets last night were things that have been happening to the Braves for all, you know, 70-plus games this season so far. So it was nice to see them have a base-running debacle and a bad mental decision by the catcher in a rundown situation and everything else that comes along with that game last night.
Well, and the double bubble hat is back, and I will never complain about it again. Braves came back from a 4-1 deficit. It was really not looking all that great until the eighth inning when Marcel tied it up with a 3-run double. And Rysel, my guy, pitched a perfect inning. Austin Riley got a sack fly to bring in the winning run. Final score, 5-4.
The bullpen pitched flawlessly, pretty much. Three innings, one hit, three Ks, 36 pitches. 27 strikes. See what happens when you throw strikes?
Those are your three guys. Like, are your three bullpen guys.
Yeah, and you know, Bummer's been a guy, too, in there. But you had Johnson, Lee, and Iglesias. And Dylan Lee was, let's be fair, Dylan Lee was shaky.
Yes, he was.
But Dylan Lee faced Soto and Alonso was it Taylor? No, Taylor was hit 9. I can't remember the other guy he faced. I'll find it. But
It was McNeil, wasn't it?
It was McNeil, and he struck McNeil out. Yes, that's a good pull. Thank you. And McNeil's a pretty good hitter. I had him on my fantasy a couple years ago. He's good because you can play outfield too and second. But anyways, that was basically the heart of their lineup that he had to go through. I mean, you could say Nimmo at 2, but when you go 3-4-5, which was Soto, Alonso, and McNeil, and so he didn't have an easy task. But Ronald Acuna Jr. made the play that he couldn't make early in the game, which allowed 2 runs to score. Which, and I think Ronnie in his head is like, I'm gonna get it back. It Schwellenbach. I want to make sure we talked about it earlier in the show. I want to make sure I give him his flowers because you can say we didn't pitch well. You know, you're probably right. Give up 4 runs. Probably didn't pitch his best. I believe all 4 were earned. They were. He walked 2 guys, struck out 8 though. But he went 7 innings and only threw 98 pitches. He went 7 innings, gave up 4 runs. What he did was allowed Johnson, Lee, and Iglesias to go out there. And those are your meat and potato. Those are your guys right there, man. When you need it, you need something, you need those guys. Bummer's in there too. He was the only guy that didn't pitch that I maybe could have seen in there because I think Bummer's earned by that spot. But, man, Iglesias, you said, looked phenomenal. Absolutely filthy in the 10th inning. Especially when you had a guy standing on second, nobody out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Spencer Schwellenbach, 97 pitches last night, 68 strikes. I think it was 39 swing and misses for Spencer Schwellenbach, which means his stuff was good. I think the location was just probably off just a little bit earlier in the game, but he definitely settled in.
Profar Ali played his first minor league game last night. He was set to go not play all 9. I don't know if he did. Him back in the 2-hole, which the Snicker said he would be, is huge because last night you had Verdugo and White kind of rotating in that. And when they walk Acuna in that 10th inning and now Verdugo comes up and first pitch, he just pops it straight up. I started to get frustrated. I was like, really, is this what we're going to do? And then because I saw Olsen get robbed early and earlier in the 8th inning with a strikeout that wasn't a strike. But then they he has a good at bat. They walk him, and then Riley comes up, and you just felt like we've got to get it done here.
Yeah.
But that 2-hole right now, that's what's – see, that was – I can live with Harris being hit or miss, more miss than hit. I can live with Nick Allen's glove but not his bat. But I got to have something out of – but I can't have 4 or 5 spots that are just a hole. And like last night, you had that.
For the majority of the game last night, until you do get the Marcelo Zuna double, I felt like that we were just writing the same book about bad at bats and swinging at first pitches. And Verdugo does that in that extra inning. He comes up and he swings the first pitch, and you're like, it's an infield fly with two runners on. And it's just like, dude, will somebody, for the love of all things holy, on this lineup work a freaking count with runners in scoring position? It's so frustrating. And it happened a number of times last night. It's almost like you escape with the win, and there was a couple of things that went your way late in the game, but I'm still trying to get the bad taste out of my mouth of some of the earlier at-bats. And unfortunately, I feel like because of the way the season has gone, it's hard to do that time and time again, where you see some of the bad at-bats and not working counts and not trying to get to the bullpen and not trying to get out from underneath the starter and just bad decisions overall in the approach at the plate from numerous different players. And obviously, in the end, you come through in some clutch situations, but there were times last night when it felt bleak for
but
this
lineup.
But
they're in there. They're in there. They showed that last night.
Yeah. No. And look, that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to take away from it. I feel so good about this win. And I think we all I can't remember who tweeted it from the station last night. Might have been Mike Bell. We've said this numerous times on every show on the station. Everybody in town feels the way. It's like you hope that this is the launch pad for some kind of hot run, that maybe you can light the fuse here, and this can be the 10-3 stretch that we talked about yesterday. I don't know, but it did feel like for the first time all season that a couple of things went your way when they needed to. When right before that, when the seventh inning, you feel like you're on the doorstep of feeling like the season's over.
It was like that. What's that Taylor Swift lyric? I think I've seen this story before, and I didn't like the ending.
I'm glad.
Are you a Swifty? I didn't take you for a Swifty.
No, it's a TikTok trend that people do. It's always stuck in my head.
Allie Mack is a Shifty and a Swifty.
There you go.
I guess Allie could be like a cameraman for NFL and CBS, because she just insert Taylor Swift when maybe it wasn't needed in a play.
There you go.
No, I'm kidding. That's a pretty good pull. It was Mike Bell that said that, and I always want to give everybody credit when they say something good and bad, because that's who I am. But, you said it, and Mike says springboard, and you said you're tired of certain things. But this team, I don't know what you watch, but what I watch from predominantly on this team is they look snake bitten. All right, not to go back to the Mac drop.
Yeah, shout out to that guy.
Maybe they've been snake bitten enough this season that they too have built up the anti-venom in their body.
There you go.
And they can fight through something, because the Acuña play where he doesn't make it, I'm not trying to hark on it, but it makes it. Like, that's a play where you think he's going to make, and that's an all-out effort play, and he just didn't make it, right? And it costs you. And now you're like, man, that's our season. We just can't make the play when we need it. But then Ozuna gets that big hit with, I think, two strikes, two out. This is your last shot. Diaz is coming in the ninth. He's going to lock this thing down. And Garrett's a guy that's been a phenomenal setup guy. They were talking about how basically good he's been. And you get that hit down the line. Freddie Gonzalez does what he needs to do. And
got the windmill
going,
baby.
He's like, you got to go. Ozuna's sending him. Ozuna's right in first like this.
Let's go.
Like, go. And you get that. And then Acuña steps up and makes that play at the wall.
Yep.
And the wherewithal to throw it to first. Like, they big hit, big play, then big inning from Iglesias, and then a good at bat from Matt Olson. All right. Matt Olson did exactly what he was supposed to do, because he didn't swing at bad pitches, he didn't strike out, he didn't hit into a double play when Allen had the base running gaffe. All he did was wait for his pitch that never came, and then he let Austin Riley go up first pitch, boom, against Bizarro and or whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, Bo, Snicker, after the game yesterday was talking about how it was vital that they made some big plays.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. No. That's a great play. I mean, and you need to, against good teams like that, you need to make big plays. And as we've seen many, many times, that kid's capable of doing that.
It was just huge.
Yeah. This game can be broken down for me into three plays: the Ozuna double that knocks in three, the catch with Ronald Acuña at the wall where he doubles the runner off first base, and then the Alvarez throw down to second when you had Luke Williams caught in between second and third, which at an elementary level, you always throw ahead of the runner. you know, and then he got greedy and tried to throw behind him, and Luke Williams juked him. And that was what set up Austin Riley for the walk-off, you know, sack fly. And those three plays were really what separated these two teams at the end of the game.
I loved what Austin Riley did in that at bat. He walked right out there and said, I'm putting the ball in play. Mm-hmm. I'm putting the ball out there. And he did. That pitch was a little high, and he said, but that should have been a double. Should have
that guy. I told you that guy has Austin Riley. He's playing Austin Taylor. Riley in fantasy this week. He's like, no, man, I can't let this hit fall. Sorry.
And you know what? Real quick, I know we got to go to break. This is one of the three most exciting wins of the season for me. Because you were down and out to a team that has been one of the best teams in the division, and they've now lost, by the way.
Ding.
Four straight the Mets have. And you've won five of your last seven.
Nice. Well, the series continues tonight. We want more of what we saw last night. And coming up, we've got a mic'd up playing a special game called Start, Bench, Practice Squad.
A special edition of Which One Wednesday. We're going to have three options.
That is next with the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and...
The Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game with Mike, Bo, Ali Mac. Dylan is behind the glass. Make sure to fire up the Odyssey app when you head into work today. Grab some earbuds. We can hang out all day.
Clear your cache. Yeah. Well,
having issues.
Yeah, if you're having issues with the Odyssey app, just clear that cache, as Bo's been saying on the socials to a couple people that have been struggling with it.
Yeah.
I don't know much about digital application technology, but evidently that's a thing.
If you go to your iPhone, you can go into your general settings and you go to your apps and you click unload. It says unload app and then you unload it and then you click and then it'll say like reload app and you just click reload. It's all in the same, all in your settings and boom, then you go out of there and you go back to the Odyssey app and it loads up because much like you guys, I listen on the go as well. When I'm in the gym, I either listen to, the Steakhouse, depending on what time, Andy and Randy, or Dukes and Bell.
And Big Papa Squid, the tech savant.
A lot of times people are looking at me like, because I'm screaming at Mike Bell. Like, what? Like, I'm like, that's not right! And people are looking at me, I'm like, I'm listening.
Does it give you extra motivation in the gym?
I'm listening to Dukes and Bell. Yeah. It keeps my mind off of the torture I'm trying to put my body through.
Hearing that bad take gets both of that last rep on that max.
Look, it's not always bad. Sometimes it's good. I like it when Carl talks. I'm just kidding. Everybody knows Mike Bell and I have worked together since like 2008. So our history is one that you could write a book on.
Well, speaking of personal reasons and feuds, have you guys seen this latest news coming out about the Tyreek Hill and Noah Lyles race that isn't? Now, Noah Lyles comes out yesterday and says, we were scheduled to race and we were going to do it in the middle of Times Square, like straight in the middle of New York City. And he backed out due to quote unquote personal reasons. Now, Tyreek Hill took to socials yesterday to basically call out Noah Lyles and say he's scared because I guess Tyreek had an event last week, ran a 10-1-5, which is good. And he won his event that he was in. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would be scared. Noah Lyles is literally the world 100-meter champion.
Exactly.
I don't think he's terrified.
The Netflix series Sprint that he's in.
I've heard about it. I haven't ever seen it, but I've heard stories about the show.
You get to know Noah Lyles, and he is not. He does not lack confidence at all.
Maybe he's not been training, though. Maybe he's out of shape.
I will say, there's no upside to Noah Lyles here. And I wonder if that's the conversation he had with his team. Like, oh, personal reasons. Like, what's the upside for Noah Lyles? You're already the world 100-meter champion. What, I mean, there's a lot of downside, like a ton of downside. And there's a lot of upside for Tyreek Hill. It's just one of those things. It's like, why would you do it if you were Noah Lyles? Just for, unless there's a massive paycheck on the line. And maybe that's the personal reason. Maybe there's not enough money out there for this event. Maybe they're trying to now sell it to Netflix or whatever else is going on. I don't know. But I don't know. He backs out for personal reasons. And Tyreek Hill does the Homer Simpson backing into the bushes thing yesterday, saying he's going away now because he's scared. But I don't know. Would you guys have watched this? Would you have, like, watch this event? Because I think I would have.
You know what I'd have done? I'd have waited until somebody posted the 10 seconds it took on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or, just Twitter. I mean, that's pretty much why.
I feel like I would have watched it live.
I'm not wasting my time on two egomaniacs.
No, and that's exactly what I want to see. I would love to see the pomp and circumstance around these guys in their pre-race interviews and what's going on with them, their psyche. It's fascinating to me to see how people get hyped up for this stuff.
Had they been fighting each other, then yes, I probably would have watched. Well, because I like to see people beat each other up, especially when they're egomaniacs and narcissists like these two guys.
Yeah, but what's funny about that is we're all the same way, where we all get in the zone, we start scrolling Twitter or Instagram, and that's all it is. That's all the influencers are. They're just, you know, that's all. They're just putting their own content out 10 seconds at a time. And you're just watching the same stuff. So you might as well watch an event where there's a winner, in my opinion.
I'm going to tell you something. The WNBA keeps fighting like they had scraps last night.
Yeah.
And I might start watching more of that. That you want to talk about, like, I'm not trying to do a WNBA minute, but, like, this player kind of slapped Caitlin Clark in the face.
Yeah.
And then Caitlin Clark jawed back, and then another girl knocked her down. And so it all goes on, and you're like, oh, it's all over. Nah, there's like 50 seconds left, and there's a fast break, and Sophie Cunningham tracks the girl down that had hit her in the face and straight grabbed her by the back of her head and threw her to the floor. And I was like, oh! And then they like all scrap, and that's what the NBA – remember, the NBA was very physical early in existence, and it kind of got viewers.
Just real quick, quick point on that. I love how much – Caitlin Clark's teammates ride for Caitlin Clark. Like, you know, Caitlin Clark, obviously, I mean, she holds her own, but, you know, whenever she gets into any type of beef or altercation, her teammates are right there to back her up, always.
They're cracked up. When she got poked in the eye, all I could think about was Bobby Boucher and Captain Insano. Captain Insano shows no mercy. Yeah, I was like,
actually think they need to do more, to be honest. I think it's gotten out of hand a little bit. They've allowed too much.
It is Which One Wednesday, but it's a special edition of Which One Wednesday. Instead of doing the old route where Bo and I debate each other and Dialon figures out who the winner is, instead we are going to do a start, bench, practice squad version for NFL quarterbacks. Before we get there, let me remind you, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta location. Allie's got the list of quarterbacks to throw at us. This should be fun.
Since this is a special edition of Which One Wednesday, is Dylan still going to judge who wins this
one? Oh, I don't
know.
Just
for funsies today?
I don't need to see him throw darts at a dartboard and try to figure out who it is
today. At the end, I'll tell y'all who I agree with the most.
I'd be willing to say that if somebody calls in a wake-up call, let them say if there was one of ours they didn't agree with.
And let's be honest, Dylan's decision-making has come under scrutiny here the last few weeks, and so I don't know that I need him judging anything that I'm doing right now.
People just don't see the world the same way I see it all the time, and that's okay.
Well, that's undoubtedly correct, my friend.
You mean vanilla? Yeah. No wonder you're a Drake fan.
Okay.
Man. That one hurt a little bit, not going to lie. That was a good one. That was a good burn.
All right. So, like Mike said, I'm going to give you guys three current NFL quarterbacks. You decide whether you're going to start, bench, or send them back to the practice squad. Fairly simple here. We're going to start with Geno Smith of the Raiders, Patrick Mahomes, and Jalen Hurts.
Same again?
This one.
Geno Smith, Patrick Mahomes, and Jalen Hurts.
Okay, I'm starting Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you got to. He's a Hall of Famer. He's already a Hall of Famer.
Jalen Hurts will be my backup, and I'm cutting Geno Smith. Sorry.
I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to say it's not that simple. I think that Jalen Hurts has the best offense surrounding him in the NFL. He has by far the best offensive line. He has the best running back, and – you know, I think because of that, he obviously he has more ups and downs than people realize for a Super Bowl winning quarterback that's making $50 million a year.
You're right, but he can also do it both ways. And I feel like I can do more with him. He can run and throw. I feel like I can do a little bit more with him and use his versatility. I got to have some guys around Geno because he is just a pocket quarterback these days.
All right, moving on. Next scenario is Jaden Daniels, Matthew Stafford, and Justin Herbert.
Ooh. I think I'm starting Jaden Daniels.
I'm going to surprise you on this one, I think.
This is tough, man, for the back. Matthew Stafford's got to be my backup at that point, and then Justin Herbert's going to be my peace squad guy. Although there's so many unique ways that all three of those guys kind of play the game that make that more difficult than I imagined it would be.
Well, I guess I'm not going to surprise you because I like Justin Herbert a lot, but I need him to do something in big moments. The other two, I've seen him do stuff in big moments.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I'm dead on with what Mike said.
Yeah, there you go. Not surprising.
Okay, moving on to the next scenario. We've got Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, and Michael Penix.
Wow, you go first. You go first. I don't want to answer this one. You go first.
Since I know he's listening, I know that Carl Dukes was talking about RG3's tweet yesterday. I was on the way to get pork chop, and he was like, hey, RG3 says he's going to be the breakout quarterback of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for once, I agree with RG3. So, therefore, I'm going to start Michael Penix. I'm going to have Dak Prescott as my backup because he's probably one of the he is a much better quarterback than everybody gives him credit for. And Trevor Lawrence will be my peace squad guy. I'm sorry, Cartersville, Georgia.
I could see putting any of the three of these in any order. Honestly, I could.
I can see a different – you know what? Every fan base would do it their own way. But I'm sorry, Dak Prescott is such a better quarterback than he ever gets credit for. And Michael Penix is my guy. He's our guy. He's this city's quarterback. We better be starting him.
I agree, but I am a massive homer when it comes to the Falcons. I'm having trouble putting him over Dak Prescott, who has had 10 years of successful play in the league and is one of the most valuable players. One of the highest paid players.
A couple years
ago, he was top three in the MVP race.
I understand, but I've seen him fail.
Exactly. So you're building up the unknown at this point.
Yeah, why not?
That argument.
Why not? Hell, I mean, I know where I'll be disappointed, but I'm going to see if I will be disappointed with the other.
I'm going to start Dak.
Okay.
And that's just, I just have to play both sides of the fence there. I'm going to start Dak. Michael Penix is going to be my backup, and Trevor Lawrence is going to be kicked to P squad. I have not been enthused at all about what Trevor Lawrence has done in the NFL so far. At least Michael Penix still has a little bit of upside to him in terms of what we don't know. But Dak's had his ups and downs, but he's been that dude at times in his career.
Yeah. I mean, I love Dak.
Okay. Let's go for the next scenario. Jared Goff, Kyler Murray, and Brock Purdy.
This is interesting.
This is harder than that one was.
I'm gonna really irritate some people.
This one might be the hardest one.
Jared Goff's gonna be my starter. Brock Purdy's gonna be my backup, and Kyler Murray be my peace squad guy. Kyler Murray even came out the other day and was like, "Hey, I need more unscripted plays. The last thing an offensive coordinator wants are unscripted plays because they don't help you." They might have a play here and there, but they can hurt you as much as anything. I need guys that play within the system and that lead, and I think the other two dudes do that. And some would call them, Cam Newton, just system guys. But that, you know what? System guys win. Ask Joe Montana.
Yeah, this one's extremely tough. I'm going to go with Brock Purdy as my starter on this. And he has played in big games, and I think he's got even bigger ones ahead of him. Jared Goff will be my backup, and that's a tough decision to make because I'm a big fan of his game. Remember, he had the streak where he didn't have any turnovers, and it was just playing lights out, and we've seen it up close and personal. And Kyler Murray, look, he could have easily been my number one, and I would make the argument that if Kyler Murray was in Jalen Hurts' spot, that he would be doing a lot of the same things Jalen Hurts is doing. But, yeah, I'm going to go Purdy, Goff, and then Murray's on the P squad.
He wouldn't be doing the tush push.
Why not?
He's not big enough.
Yeah, dude.
He's like a micro machine out there.
So we don't have time for any more. So I want you to take this one in, think about it, and we'll get to it when we go into the wake-up call.
I like that.
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Aaron Rodgers. Okay? Write them down. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Aaron Rodgers. Who would you start? Who would you bench? Who's going to the P squad? We'll get back to that when we do the wake-up call next. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. And we do have the wake-up call coming up. Did Bo and Mike miss on any of these? The start, bench, P-Squad, and do you agree with their top 20 most important Falcons for this season? 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.